Welcome to Dr. Red Says. Our show is all about taking charge of your mental, physical, and spiritual health. We'll answer your questions about the various healing modalities. And most of all, we're going to have some fun. Now, here's your host, Dr. Red.
Good afternoon, America, and all of our international listeners. I hope it's a really good afternoon for you, or morning, depending on what time zone you're in. Some of us are, at least we think we're perfectly healthy, but we're getting jitters because we've been staying in the house. And we've been staying in the house with our spouses and children because we're on virtual lockdown with this coronavirus thing. And so this is the last week of the month of March with March to Your Own Drummer. I'm okay. March to Your Own Drummer. So here's the thing. We're sitting here getting stir crazy, and this guy has been everywhere. So he's going to give you a little vicarious adventure. So my guest to bring up the last, we always save the best for last, the last of March to Your Own Drummer, is the founder of Brand SEO, and if you don't know what that is, he'll tell you, and Information Product Launch Expert Skills. Expert Skills. And he spilled some beans on how to do this, which is amazing because I can't do it. And he talks about his world travels, moving abroad, and some secrets that anyone can use to make money online. There's the catch. Make money online. Do you know how many times I've tried that? Holy cow. Don't ask my husband. So this guy has done 30 years of online and offline marketing. He's been to 39 countries. And here's the big one. He has successfully lived on his online income in businesses built mostly out of his adult life. I can't imagine that. He's also a university marketing teacher in China. Gee, China is a big topic right now, so we'll talk about that. And he's worked and interviewed many of the top people in sales, marketing, and personal development. And boy, if you don't recognize these names, Ben Gay, Harv Ecker, Alex Mandosian, Chris Howard, and Jim Rohn, there's some different skill sets there, but they all market their stuff, and they all are probably gazillionaires. I have no idea. So he is my angel of adventure today, and I would like to introduce you to Andrew Zirkin. Hi, Andrew.
Hello. Hello. Thank you very much.
So are you 112? How long did it take you to do all these things?
No. I'm closer to 50 than 112. So I'm still late 40s right now.
So, you could be my son. I have a son that's 50.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I should adopt you.
Sure. No problem. You just have to talk to my dad. He might not be okay with that.
Yeah, I don't have any living parents. I don't even have any living siblings anymore. That's kind of scary. And you know what's really scary? We're going to talk about next week or April Fools. We're going to talk a lot about scams, and especially online and phone scams for April Fools Week and the whole month. But right now we've got this corona here. Holy cripe. Everybody in the world is scared to death. And you are traveling around. Wow. Does that scare you?
You know what? I was traveling. I was lucky. I was kind of in the right places at the right time because I, like you said, I'm actually a marketing professor in China currently at a university, and we get a holiday through most of January and February. So I left the very end of December before the virus hit. I was in Shenzhen, which was really not affected that badly compared to other places. And by the time it hit, I didn't even know. It was kind of funny and ironic, but I was at the airport in Panama City. So I went to Mexico and then Panama and then Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and back to Mexico. And when I was in Panama City, I was changing I had a little bit of Chinese money left. And I was changing money with the girl at the counter, let's say about January 10 or 15. Well, no, about January 15 or 20. And the girl said, "What's happening with this virus in China?" And I said, "What virus? I have no idea." That was kind of ironic that I was literally on the ride. I wasn't watching the news when I'm traveling. You know, maybe I would have learned a few days sooner, but it really wasn't a thing until later in January. And I was in Central America, so I was as far away. So as far as being scared, no, because I was this far from China, and the virus was really getting bad in Asia by February, but it really hadn't reached Central America or Mexico or places like that. So I was okay. I wasn't too worried.
You gotta be careful here. Our governor, good old Governor Newsom in California, was on for like an hour and a half talking about what we're doing now, and don't you dare breathe on anybody, and they may fine you or arrest you. So they're letting criminals out because they're worried about their health, and they're gonna put you in jail if you congregate, if you go out of your house.
But this is, maybe they'll let you back out of jail because
I don't know. This is the weirdest world. But that's the thing about traveling around and doing stuff. I like to. I'm an Army brat and a Navy wife and mother. So all of my life, I have been in, you know, living in other countries. I love doing the local stuff, you know. And so right now, there's this big argument over whether this came from the wet market, and we're going to talk about that also next week. But do you go and buy your food at local markets when you live in a different country?
Well, I don't buy bats or penguins or whatever those animals are called. It just depends. No, I mean, you know, even when I lived in Thailand for 3 years, and we had a special market that the foreigners like to go to, and it's not it was more like a Whole Foods or Mrs. Gucci's than a wet market.
You didn't go to the markets. You got to go to the markets in Bangkok because all the vendors are in boats.
Oh yeah, I know which one you're talking about. I was in Chiang Mai, but sometimes I buy my vegetables at those sort of markets and stuff. But I don't generally buy meat and fish and stuff because the refrigeration's not there. I never saw those weird exotic animals in Thailand, but they would have chicken or beef or pork, but they would have it just kind of sitting out with. Even sometimes there's ice, sometimes there's not. I don't like to buy meat that hasn't been kept refrigerated. So I'm sorry?
We bought some hamburger once from a supermarket in Bangkok and fed it to our cats. That was in Indonesia. Oh, okay. My husband just walked in. He said, don't defend Bangkok. That was in Indonesia. And so it was in the supermarket, packed in plastic. We fed it to our little wildcat and she died. I don't know what was in it. So, dang, don't feed anything raw to your animals. That's for sure.
You know, I got food poisoning in Indonesia last year, so I know what you're talking about. You do have to be really careful.
I know. That wormed. Oh, my goodness. I got wormed once, and that is not fun. So, we got wormed every 6 months? He has a better memory than I do.
In Thailand and Indonesia. Just like the dogs.
You're calling me a dog? I think he's calling his wife a dog.
Yeah, I didn't take you to the vet.
Oh, that's not nice.
Said he didn't take me to the vet. He took me to a real hospital. So you can travel all over the world, and people like me would love that because, you know, 2 years in one place, I mean, your duty station's finished and you got to move. And so it drives me crazy to stay in one place very long. But people who don't want to do that, they might want to just sit at home and you know, do an online marketing job. So how did somebody as adventurous as you get into online marketing?
Well, actually, I had built up a search engine optimization company in California, brandseo.com. We had talked about that. Actually, the site's down right now. I haven't done a lot with it lately, and I was checking it the other day, and I have to go in and fix something related to the WordPress. But I was doing that for several years, and I had built it up to quite a successful company. And then I, like a lot of entrepreneurs, I did a side project and sort of killed the initial business. I don't really talk about this one too much, but it's been more than 10 years now. So it's the pain of it, of killing a successful company with a side project was a lot at the time. But I had bought a six-month ticket to Thailand, with the intention to sort of get my head straight and then come back to California and sort of, you know, start over again. And I just really fell in love with living in Thailand. It's extremely affordable there.
Sorry. It is a great place. It is a great place. It's my husband's favorite place of all the countries we've lived in. I don't have a favorite.
Yeah.
But he really loves Thailand.
I really did love Thailand. You know, the rent was extremely affordable, which at the time I needed because, like I said, I had killed my successful business. So I was able to rent a nice apartment for under $200 a month. Meals in Thailand at the time in Chiang Mai were around a dollar a meal. It was just really affordable living. It was so beautiful in Chiang Mai, the temples, and I got a motorcycle, and we would ride up with friends up to the mountains, and I found a girl there. She became my girlfriend. We lived together, and the experience was just amazing. And I spent about 3 years there in Chiang Mai, but the summers were very hot. So by that third year, I moved to Bali for the summer, which was equally, maybe even more amazing. I really loved Ubud in Bali. So that was nice.
Bali was our vacation hop because it was close.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Oh, those beaches, my goodness. And we live on a beach here in San Diego. I mean, I got to admit, Bali's better. Everything is very exciting over there. But see, my husband was always attached to something. And there he was attached to a thing called JustMag Thailand. That's Joint U.S. Military Advisory Group. In Indonesia, he was an attaché. So we always had this support group. And we always had things. How did you just plop into a country single with no friends? And how hard is it to do that?
Well, you know, I've always had this belief that, you know, we're born naked knowing nobody. So if you think about that for a moment, you know, when we're born, we really don't know anybody. So when people tell me, oh, I'm shy, I can't meet new people, I can't make new friends. Well, you started life that way. So if you have, most people have 1,000 friends, or 500, maybe not close friends. But most people, if you look at their Facebook accounts or other stuff, they know 500 people or 1,000 people throughout high school and junior high and university and throughout life. We meet people. It's just somehow how we are. You know, when I was a little bit before I was 30, I studied in Rome. I studied painting and drawing over there, and I got in 2.5 months. Eurail pass. And so I traveled to Croatia and Greece and Hungary and Spain and all these places. Now, I wasn't living over there, but I basically went over there, studied in Rome through the university and had an apartment with them. But after that, I had no, and this was, you know, this was 2000 or 2001. So, you know, the internet wasn't like it was now. There was no Airbnb. You couldn't jump on Facebook. Yeah, there was Google and stuff, but basically, I did the backpacking thing kind of before anybody was backpacking and stayed at hostels and met a girl in Spain and we fell in love and did the long distance thing. And she was in London. And I ended up, after I graduated, I moved to London for 3 years. I lived in Europe almost 4 years. So to me, moving to Asia without knowing anyone there wasn't as scary as it might be for other people, because I've done that. I've reinvented myself. I lived in Massachusetts when I was 19 for school for a year. I grew up in California.
You're a cute guy. All these girlfriends and all these, you should be a sailor because you have one in every port. Did you finally marry one?
No, I'm not married. There, you know, I guess if I look back, there's probably a few that I should have married, but I guess maybe I'm a little too nomadic for that so far. Not that I would never do it, but so far, no, I haven't. But thank you for calling me cute. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and my listeners can't see you, but they can see you on the e-card that's on my Facebook page.
Okay.
I think Al will talk about that. Al is such a good guy because he got me you, and he finds the most interesting people to interview. But I love this because I'm also an adventurous, an artist, and a writer. So we have a lot in common. Unfortunately, I couldn't market anything if I had to. So is money making online really hard to do, or am I just like not getting it?
Well, you know, a lot of people will tell you it's super easy and you don't have to do anything. And it's, you know, just like you push a button and you make money. Usually they're trying to sell you a course.
Yeah.
And of course, if they tell you the truth and they say, you know what, look, it is going to be hard work. So, you know, anything good in life is going to be hard work in reality. You know, so if we think about, for example, one of my mentors, Chris Howard, he said, you know, life is like a refrigerator. Whatever you put into it is what you get out of it.
And some of it comes out.
If you start an online business and you put a bag of potato chips in the refrigerator, you're going to get a bag of potato chips out of it, you know. So sad to say, anyone can do it, but they're going to have to put some work in. They're going to have to put some time in. They're going to have to put some energy in. So,
yeah, you have to have that type of personality that you can do that. What's amazing with you guys and all of the people that I've had on the march, you're Renaissance people, because not only can you travel and write and paint, you can handle all of that regimentation and and spreadsheets and profit and loss thingies and all that junk. I cannot do that. Give me anything esoteric or scientific, cool. But the money thing, put numbers in front of me or dollar signs and I go bonkers. So if I had the money
this is one of the things that I do say to people is there's probably 1,000 different ways to make money online. So maybe people look at like somebody on YouTube and they go, wow, I could never do that. I don't have that sort of personality. Or like you said, they look at a number cruncher accountant person and go, wow, I could never do that. But there's so many different ways that I'd say that everybody can find something that fits their personality that they can use to make money online. So if you try to do something that doesn't fit who you are and what you love and what you are good at and what you enjoy doing, you're probably going to fail at it. So the reality is you got to find that thing that is fun for you. And then when you're doing it, it actually doesn't feel like you're working online. It's like, hey, I get to do this. And at the same time, I'm making some money. I'm making a living from it. So I would say that getting to, let's say, $1,000 a month, if somebody works at an online plan, they come up with a plan, and I can help people if people want to work with me on the phone and want to develop a plan or something like that. But let's say somebody works, reasonably hard at this for a year. Let's say they develop $1,000 in online income. Now, us in the United States, that sounds like nothing. But yeah. The reality is if you went to go live in Thailand in a year from now and you're single, let's say, you could easily live on $1,000 a month there, and then you could grow that $1,000 to $2,000 to $3,000. Harv Eker says when you make the first dollar, that's when you know that it's working. Now you just have to build a system and figure out how to make more dollars. So even $1,000 or $2,000 a month, you could be financially free, just not necessarily in the United States. Like the U.S., it's pretty hard to live on $1,000 or $2,000 a month. The cost of living is too high here, unfortunately.
Yeah, planning on giving people that are all these mass layoffs are planning on giving families $1,000 a person one time. I'm going, okay, that's lunch money. Wow.
I know. Tell me about it. Yeah, for sure. That's part of why we're talking about this is that, if we can help some people to find a way to make an extra $500 a month while they're going through this crisis, and grow some online income, then, it can make a huge difference in people's lives. And so even after this is over and they go back to their jobs, they might really appreciate having that extra money, and they may grow it to a large enough sum that they don't have to keep their jobs if they choose not to.
Yeah, I cannot work for someone. I've already figured that out. And so I'm having a good time doing this radio show, but if you could figure out a way to make money online when you're a jabberwocky like I am, let me know, because I sure could use the extra money to put toward my veterans. The reason that we wanted to have you, though, was I do have military and veterans, and they've learned these skills, and they come back, and nobody wants them because, one, they think they have PTSD, and no, they don't all have PTSD, and even so, it's not dangerous, and two, they don't think they have any skills that their companies want. So these guys come back and these women come back and they're so frustrated. So maybe there is another option for them. They could start their own. They're very creative military people. They have to be.
Sure. Yeah, my brother's was in the Air Force, and both my grandfathers were in World War II. So I'm quite familiar, and my father's really a military buff. And so I kind of grew up, even though I wasn't in a military family, I still grew up, learning about it and learning about the history of different wars and watching a lot of movies about it. We watched 1917 the other day. And yeah, I can appreciate that. And because this is a short call, we obviously can't go into all the different ways to make money online. And like I said, it would sort of be custom for each individual person. And that's why it was kind of like we talked about maybe doing some coaching for people or things like that if people need or want to after the call.
I like that idea because if you can at least point them, if there are courses that would match for them, you probably know, and you could point them to the right education. You can't just go online and pick courses because they say easy money. It doesn't work. But you can make some sense out of their personalities. You've been in 39 countries, so personality. You know what things would work for them. So maybe they can have a little coaching with you, and then kind of flap their wings and see if they take off.
Yeah, that's kind of what I like to do for people is help them with the big picture plan, because the kind of like the actual implementation, the actual work, people kind of do need to do that for themselves. Of course, they can hire a company to do it. But in general, if people like, you know, kind of get in there and like my friend said to me the other day, like roll up their sleeves, you know, that's kind of that's sort of what it takes. And there's definitely, you know, like I said, there's so many ways to make money online nowadays, from affiliate marketing to, you know, blogging, to video blogs, to using Fiverr, to there's just, you know, if you like design, there's some stuff. If you like doing making music, there's stuff. There's so almost any skill or talent or anything that you have or that you're willing to develop, you could probably turn into extra online income.
Yeah, but you are the first line of finding out this stuff, because if you ever watch Dr. Phil, and I love him because psychology is part of my thing, he's had these people on and they're so deluded that he says, what do you do for a living? They say, I'm a media influencer. They don't know anything about it. They make a couple of videos on YouTube and they think they're going to make their life fortune doing that with no training, no direction, no nothing, and mama's paying the bill. They can't spend their life doing that.
You know what? It's interesting. I've been listening to Gary Vaynerchuk a lot lately, and he's someone I'm a huge fan of. I'm not sure if you know his work, but he wrote the book Crush It, and he built a massive social media marketing brand for his wine library TV, and he did the marketing for his parents' wine business and raised it by several $1 million. And he's brilliant. But, you know, one of the things he was talking about the other day is about putting out massive amounts of content over a sustained period of years, you know, like, so that's who's going to win at this game. So for example, like, you know, if you just wanted to make, you know, a few hundred dollars extra a month, okay, that's doable. And that's not that hard for anybody to do, let's say. But if somebody really wanted to make it big in this industry, you kind of have to be the, what do they call it? You have to really be, the word's not coming to my mind, but you have to be the leader for that space. And the way to do that is to put out so much content. And once again, this is why you have to really love doing it. So if it's something where, and numbers are numbers, and I can throw numbers out there, and I have friends that do, you know, I have a friend that does online marketing, and he does this stuff around book publishing products, and he brings in about $70,000 a month. And he's not the biggest person I know. But, you know, when I did my summit, I interviewed Joel Kahn and Mike Koenigs and Harv Eker and all these other people. And, you know, Koenigs, I know at one point was bringing in $13 million a year. It's not unheard of. For example, if you think about information marketing, let's say you decide to go, and that's kind of been my specialty for years. It's what I was focused on for a long time after my search engine optimization company adventure. And with information marketing, think about it. You have a product that you don't need to manufacture. You don't need to print. You don't need to ship. There's no packaging. There's no inventory. So your cost, besides the time that you put into it and the marketing that you create, of course, if you hire people to assist you, that costs money. But if you kind of do it all yourself, you could create an information product from what you know. And when somebody clicks a button and says, I want to buy that product, and puts their credit card in, the money goes into your PayPal account. Maybe you split it with an affiliate, or the company that's doing the processing charges a few dollars or a small percentage to do the merchant processing. But basically, you sell a $10 information product, you're going to make $9.50 on it, and you have you don't have to go out and put something in a box like you have to with eBay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with physical products either, but I kind of like information products because they really have some big advantages over physical products.
Oh, let me tell you, I have a friend, and Al teases me about my lady with the magic cat, but she does kind of metaphysical healing and stuff, and she has this cat that she communicates with that she says is there's a body inhabiting this cat that is a healer from somewhere in the universe. So Lori Rion, and I love her, and her master cat Puda, they have these classes on Zoom. So she charges each one of us $100 or $200, and she gets 50 people, and she spends 3 hours in her living room petting her cat and telling us stuff. Holy cow.
Well, there you go. 100 people times $50 is, you said 100, no, 300, how many people?
Well, this last one was just 50 people, but she can get more. I mean, it's amazing the stuff she does.
Yeah, but 50 people times $100 is $5,000. So she runs that class. Is it full, which it sounds like it is? And she runs it, what, once a week or something?
She does different classes, so the attendance varies. But she has another class. It's $500 per thing, and there's a part one and a part two. So there's $1,000 a person, and depending on how. And she's got people all over the world because Zoom, you know. Wow.
Right. Well, if you think about that, then okay. So this is what we call sales funnel in the industry. So you have some customers who are going to buy your Tripwire product, we call it. So that's your $7, are you interested? You know, besides capturing an email address, which really is selling a product, but it's your free level. And then you have your low-cost Tripwire, $7. And then some people are going to take the $50 course. But out of those, you know, hundreds of people that do your $50 course, there's going to be some people who want to do a more deeper experience with you. So you have a $500 level. And all the way to the... You know, when people have a big enough funnel and a big enough pipeline of customers, sometimes they can have a $10,000 retreat in Bali and 20 people will show up and pay $10,000 each to come learn directly from her, for example.
So. She does that too. It's amazing. I said, I want to be your Sherpa because she goes to these exotic places because that's where the spirits are. So there's Hawaii and there's some island in the South Pacific. And yeah, people pay a fortune and follow her and her cat to get to connect with the universe. And I'm going, wow. You know?
Yeah. It's great. There's another concept in marketing that we talk about the long tail. And the term the long tail comes from a long tail keyword, meaning that somebody goes to Google and they type in, I want to learn about spirituality and cats. And they find this woman, you know, like, okay, we might think, well, who the heck would type that in? But with 7 billion people on the planet, there probably is 500 people a year that type in that phrase. And if some of them are finding that, that's where SEO comes in. But, you know, if they're finding this woman at the top of that long tail phrase. So basically, you could be into the most obscure hobby or subject or whatever it is. And I guarantee you there's probably a million other people in the world who are into the same obscure hobby. And nothing wrong with cats and spirituality, by the way, but I'm just saying it's not like a major, people always think they have to break into some huge market, but the reality is, you know, probably the things that you like, there's going to be other people that like it, no matter how obscure they are.
Millions. This lady is amazing. She's been all over the world with the top people in spirituality. And I'm kind of Mr. Spock. I don't really believe anything that can't be proven. She's got me hooked. I mean, the woman's amazing and the work is amazing. So, yeah, I mean, if me with a scientific background will go off on cats that talk to you by telepathy, there are people out there that are going to do that. And she's making a good penny.
I'm sure.
But you know what? She didn't think it up. She said spirit told her. I've been asking spirits,
yeah,
not
Italy.
I'm going, spirit
tells me a lot.
Spirit, I'm broke. Spirit doesn't talk, didn't tell me, it tells me stuff, but spirit doesn't give me any good business ideas. So we have about a minute.
Funny. When you mentioned that, I was thinking of, like, you know, sometimes if I'm walking down the street and I see, you know, homeless people that need money and stuff. And obviously, you know, depending where you are, you can't give money to everyone. But sometimes when someone's sitting there with a puppy dog or a kitten or something,
aww,
I think I probably give money more when they have a pet. And it's not like I should. It's not like I shouldn't help people who don't have a pet. But there's just something I think that people have a you know, such a resonance to animals, especially dogs and cats, probably helps with marketing. Whether it's, you know, it's, I'm sure to her it's true and to her fans it's true. And maybe it is true. But
well, we
obviously
won't know.
Wouldn't have that animal, you know.
We don't know till we cross over, but... and Al and I are going to set up a show on support animals, you know, psychological support animals, because some people do think that the animals know when they're ill and know how to help them. And sometimes they can wake them up from a dead sleep if they smell smoke or they smell your hormones change. So, yeah. But the neat thing about what you said with homeless people, they care enough that they will spend the last dime they've got to feed the animal first. So that is that's really good soul that's just in bad circumstance. So I agree with you. If I see one with an animal, I probably would too. When we come, I'm going to toss it to Alan. He's going to tell us a bunch of stuff. But when we come back from that, Both of you guys think this. Make up somebody, I mean, you could even use me if you want to, that wants to say, right now I have a YouTube channel, but I really hate doing the hair and makeup and doing that every single day. So somebody like me who wants to get out information on alternative healing therapies, and how can you make money off a subject like that? And we'll set up, we'll set that up for the second half of the show. How do you do that kind of sort of? So Al, I think Al's been on mute all this time. Hey, Al.
Hey, Dr. Red.
Hey, well, thank you for hanging in there. So tell everybody, because this is my master. He knows what I'm doing. What are we doing for the next couple of months? And you're going to help, are you going to help Andrew show me how to make an online business?
Well, Andrew's definitely the guy to go to if you want to. You want to sell online and do an online business. And I have a feeling he'd give you a little bit of free advice because we invited him to be a guest on the show. So if you like, I'll set that up for you.
Okay.
As far as what we're going to do here in the future, I just want to let the audience out there know that, of course, we want them to visit your website, drredsays.com, because for a variety of reasons. We want them to let us know what they think about the topics and suggest topics for us in the near future. We want to connect with them and see how they like the show. What do they like? What would they like to see on the show? And we just want to know they're breathing. Hello, people out there in internet radio land. Would you raise your hand if you hear what we're saying? Thank you. As far as the next month, it should be really interesting. Our theme for next month is, are you fooling yourself? Who's fooling who? And
yes.
I think we're going to do a show together in the first week of April, which I have tentatively set up the topic as, did you want a refund on that snake oil you bought? Question mark.
I love that.
We're going to have a lot of fun with that. We're going to talk about scams and how some people, many, many people, are being taken advantage of out there, especially in these times when people start to get desperate and they get nervous, they get worried. They're wondering where their next paycheck, I guess, is coming from.
Yep.
And so they're under a lot of stress. And when people are under stress, their brain works differently. They don't think quite as rationally as they normally would. I won't say that they're desperate, but let's just say they're more inclined to look at some of these scams and listen to these people. And, of course, we know many, many people out there are getting taken advantage of. So that's going to be part of what we're going to be talking about in April, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we should bring Andrew back, because if you've lived in these countries and you go to the markets, it's so amazing. They always have these ancient Chinese medicine and all kinds of different herbs and spices. And so when you said snake oil, you know, I probably have ingested some at one point, because I did a lot of really interesting cures. And here's the thing. We've got this coronavirus going on right now. And talk about making money online. I was trying to count the number of emails I've gotten in the last 2 days telling me how to handle coronavirus and why to buy their product. Holy cow, these guys make a mint before somebody finds out they're crooks. So,
well,
that's the
other thing.
Both of you guys,
right?
Can anybody do anything if you're selling something that's totally ineffective, but you have got the sales pitch to end all sales pitches, and you've set up your market and you got lots of people biting? Can anybody do anything about that?
Are there laws about that?
What do you think about that, Andrew?
Well, I think there's laws in place, I mean, about bogus claims. You know, so if somebody says, like, hey, you try this herb, I'm selling it for $19.99 and it's going to cure coronavirus, I think they can go to jail for that.
I would like to see that.
At least in the United States, right?
I would like to see that, because I have so much useless mail about, and we have fallen for some of it because they're supplements. But even supplements, do you know where the supplements were made? Do you know what's in the supplements? Because they're not regulated. So right now, I would say to anybody, if you want to get into an online business and your business is something like CBD oil or some kind of supplement, now may not be the perfect time to start it, but you can learn about it. But once, because right now things are in a serious uproar, and people either will not touch anything that their doctor didn't give them, or they'll buy everything in sight. But that's a gamble.
Mm. Yes, sure.
Well, you know,
sure,
Dr. Redd, unfortunately, if somebody goes out there and buys something for $19.95, chances are they're not going to want to hire an attorney to get their money back when the company disappears, or they find out it doesn't work. So, yes, there are some consumer protection laws in place, but a lot of times people just don't want to take the time. They don't want to make the effort to try to get their money back. There are laws out there, but unless an attorney is filing a class action suit on behalf of a million people, you don't usually see much in the way of
I'm not thinking about money back, but I'm just thinking that if you get reported to the right regulatory bodies that you're making bogus medical claims, companies, mm-hmm. if they're in the U.S., they can get in a lot of trouble for that. So, you know, you're not going to get your $20 back, but maybe that company is going to get shut down.
You know what's scary about that, though? Because, see, here's my thing, my mission, because I should have died in 1988 and I'm a Jew, but I did have a conversation with Jesus, and he said, you want to stay? I said, yeah, I want to help veterans. So my mission is to get all the information on real, authenticated, they call it alternative or complementary medicine, things that you can do, because I should have died within 2 years, and I'm still here. So that was because I did the research, and I found things that actually can help you when the doctors can't. So that's my pitch. I want to get all this information together, and I want to give it to people. And so I want to start an online business with that. How the heck do I do that?
Well, I've always been a proponent of alternative medicine myself, because I believe that there's a lot more out there than just the medical industry or the pharmaceutical industry sort of pushes on us. And sometimes the side effects are a lot worse than the condition that the pharmaceuticals are treating. And I've read a lot of it when I was younger. I read a lot of books by Dr. Andrew Weil, he's brilliant. And he talks about this a lot and how, you know, our bodies, our immune system's pretty amazing. Our bodies have this incredible ability to heal from almost anything that gets thrown our way. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't live more than a week. But there are things that probably natural things that, you know, I always go to natural first before I'll go see a doctor and I'm not giving any, this is no medical advice or any kind of advice or anything like that. But like sometimes I can go buy a bag of limes and cure something, or with salt or with vitamin C or with other natural things that really tend to do less harm. And then 90% of the time, I can kind of use that to help my body's immune system fight whatever it is. And I've gone for Chinese medicine many times, acupuncture, things like that. So I'm kind of probably in your target group, at least someone who's open to learning about different alternative means of medicine. So your question is kind of, how can you sort of get that out there? Well, you do have to be careful, like we were talking about a few minutes ago, about the rules and regulations and laws, and you do need to know that stuff. And I think that making claims is very difficult in these times about, like, hey, this, you know, ginger is good for this, or garlic fixes these problems, or something like that. But I think that one way that I've seen companies get around that is to use patients can say, like, I had this condition, I tried this, and now I don't have that condition anymore. I don't know if they can directly say it fixed it, but they can make their own sort of testimonials. But I think in general, what you're asking about, it's a pretty deep topic. So you're kind of asking, like, how can you make sort of more money online from teaching people about alternative medicine? Is that correct?
Or yes, sending them to the places. I would like to be the 411 of alternative healthcare. I have my Dr. Red's Rangers. So anybody that's been on my show or would like to is welcome to become a ranger, and I can always send somebody to them. But that's the point. I just want to get information out. I don't know how to do that and actually make money. So I can be a referral service. The Rangers could pay me. I have no idea how it works. But I know claims are interesting. I just got this from Vitality. I'm an aromatherapist. And so this little bottle of Vitality oil says immunity, therapeutic grade. It just, that's all it says. It's pure oil, therapeutic grade. Doesn't say it's going to give you immunity, but the name of it is immunity. So that's pretty clever.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that is clever.
Yeah, so, okay, so you just named one way that you could make money from it right there. But I would say that, and I'm not sure about this channel or the other, you mentioned YouTube and that you don't like putting on the makeup and making the videos and stuff. And I understand that. Maybe one way that you could resolve that is instead of shooting one show at a time, try to shoot three or four or five shows. Maybe start with two or three and then work your way up. And that way you don't have to do it as frequently. But I would say that the more value you give, the more information you get out there, the more people that start to listen and follow and subscribe to what you're doing, the more prolific you become as a source for information around that, the easier it is going to be to make money. If you have the eyeballs, the making money part becomes very simple. But if you don't have a large fan base of people that are listening to you and watching your stuff, and this is a lot of what Gary Vaynerchuk talks about as well, is like, you know, putting out 7 to 21 pieces of content on 3 different channels every single day.
Oh my
I'm
goodness.
Currently working on systems for this. Me and Al have been talking about this a bit too. But working on systems where you can put these things out there to one place and then it goes out to 15 or 20 different places automatically for you. So sort of building systems where you don't have to upload to 50 different places. You have a system that kind of does that for you. So I'm a firm believer in systems and team. You know, if you have a good team and good systems, you can almost make any business a success.
I do have to say that Voice America, bless their hearts, they are very well known. They're all over the world. And they have some way that you just do one thing. And there's this whole sheet of a gazillion different social media things come up. I don't know how to connect to that, but it's supposed to be you do it once and then your stuff will go out all the time. So I'm going to have one of you guys look at that because, wow, if I could just do this one thing and it goes out to all these different things, I'm just right now doing Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
So imagine if you had, and that sounds great. You should definitely, if they've got a system for that already built and it's, you know, just part of the service and you just need to click a few buttons and add that, and then you'd probably have to add all the accounts. But that would be a good idea. And then if you had an additional social media wheel that pointed people back to the content, let's say like this interview or other interviews that you've done, that's going to help get even more traction. And then ultimately sending people back to something like an email capture page where you're offering them something amazing for free if they give their email address. That's sort of the starting of the funnel because that email list is that's your bread and butter. If you have a large email list from or even a small email list that's very responsive and really loves your stuff and buys things from you, they call it a buyer's list, then you can make a very good income from that.
Well, we're kind of working on that. I am working on two full-size books, but I wanted to do a little teaser, a booklet, an e-booklet, and thank Al for the title because we went back and forth about this. Living in the Meow. I mean, cats have taken over the internet. So Living in the Meow is how to live life according to Kurok the cat. And you might recognize that. That's Thai, because I have a Siamese cat I bought in Thailand. And when she passed over, her new one was reincarnated, looks just like her. So Kurok means sweethearts. So in this little, I said it and she just came over. Don't stand on my machine, baby. So we're going to have a little teaser thing and it's going to have different pictures of different cats. And it's going to have the top 10 rules for living according to Kurok the cat. And that will be free for anybody who wants to do it. But I haven't got a clue. That's why people like you and Al are around. I just know stuff and I can talk your head off. But I can't do the other stuff.
Well, you have to stick to what you're good at. And if you're good at that part of it, and then you work with other people who are good at the parts that you're not good at, that's what I mean about having a team. I mean, you know, you have to realize, okay, so for our listeners here, this is a great piece of advice, is that you have to realize you can't be great at everything. Sometimes as a founder or a CEO or a business builder, even if you're new at it, you kind of want to do everything yourself. And a lot of people have this feeling like,
well, other people can't do it as good as me. And that slows you down from building a team of people that are stronger. Or maybe there's something you're good at, but you hate doing it. Well, you can get other people to do those parts of your business. So that's a very valuable sort of lesson that I think we all have to learn.
Yeah, seriously, if you're somebody like me, you don't let me near money. I can't make change for a quarter. So I don't want to know about that stuff. It would be nice if you said, hey, you're making some money, but I don't, you know, that's your business. Just don't break any rules and help me keep my business going. And, you know, God bless you, because I can't do that. And I don't want to do that.
I think that's fine to have bookkeepers and accountants and other people help you manage the money, but you do have to be a little bit careful in the sense, like I've been watching some videos recently about different rock stars and bands over the years that thought they were, even Billy Joel, I was one of them, for example, who thought they were making a ton of money. And then when they stopped playing music for a minute and actually looked at it, they had lost millions of dollars because their managers took advantage of them. So I would say the money, you know, even Oprah is a good example of that. You know, Oprah signs all her own checks. So I'm sure if it's a small amount of money, then it doesn't go through her. But anything over a certain amount, the checks have to go through her. So she sees, even though she doesn't have to do the bookkeeping, she's able, you know, her team comes to her and says, okay, you need to sign these 20 checks today. And she can see. So she's the only one on her bank account that's allowed to let money go out. So she can't be taken advantage of. And that I would recommend at a minimum is, like, it's okay to have other people deal with the money, but you want to at least take a look at it every once in a while, see where the money's going, make sure you're not getting, you know, ripped off.
That's true. I don't know that I'll ever get famous enough for anybody to rip anything off. But that's great advice, because I have been, I love to read, you know, those rags in the supermarket line. You're waiting in line. So there's all these different, like the Inquirer. I think I haven't seen the Inquirer in years, but they have all these stories about stars that get ripped off. And I used to just think, well, maybe that's because they're out smoking pot or they're out drinking. But no, the modern stars don't do those things and they still get ripped off. Hard.
Well, I hope you get successful enough to get ripped off one day and don't get ripped off.
Okay, well, take that up with Al. I really love doing what I'm doing, and you're right about this. You may or may not make a whole lot of money, and I can live if I don't make a lot of money on this, but I'm doing what I love, so it's not work. And it's for the veterans.
You know what? My point about the money, just keep an eye on it. Just, you know, even if you don't like to do it, you don't necessarily have to do all the tracking. Just, you know, look at your bank statements every once in a while, make sure there's not mistakes in there. Because even just like I've gone in there and seen that, like, you know, some sort of service was taking $20 out of my account every month for 3 months, and I hadn't checked it for that 3 months. And then I have to call my bank and say, well, what is this? Why are they taking money out? Sometimes you just, you know, you click a button on your phone and you get tricked into these things, or something's billing you.
No.
You canceled something, but they're still billing you, or these kinds of things. And it's kind of hard for an outsider, even if someone's doing your books for you, they don't necessarily know all these things that you've agreed to or haven't agreed to. So
I know that's
all I'm saying is, just, you know, you don't have to keep you don't have to micromanage that part of your business, but it's worth looking in on every once in a while.
If, you know, the online business, it used to be very easy because they thought people that did it were pioneers and they had something great. Now everybody's hawking something. And my husband said, if you take one more free sample from the internet, I will kill you. Because I read and I don't see the fine print, but somewhere in there they disguised a thing that said, yeah, this is a free sample, and next month it's going to be $100 and you signed up for auto ship. I never saw that. It's horrible.
Yeah, there's laws about that too now. They have to make it more obvious. They can't just put you on some sort of automated billing. But some companies still do that. And, you know, if the companies are not based in the U.S., maybe they don't have to be compliant to those rules and stuff. But yeah, be careful whenever you put a credit card in or any sort of payment method, even if it's $1 for the first 2 weeks or month or whatever, read the fine print. Make sure, what are they going to charge you the following month if you don't cancel? That's what would be my
I love the one. I do like to buy from catalogs, and I love the ones where they say, would you like free shipping on your next order? Well, yeah, I would. And then you click to that page and it says, join this marketing club for $15 a month. I don't need $15 a month worth of things. So I don't know how many people get hooked into that, but The free shipping is a good lure, because sometimes you're buying something that isn't as expensive as the shipping.
Well, I mean, continuity models work. This is called a continuity model. And membership sites, continuity models, they do work. And they're a good business model because you have people paying you on a recurring basis. It's just whether companies are doing it in a deceptive way or an honest way, because there are going to be customers who do want. There's things I subscribe to, and I do want to get them every month. Most of us probably subscribe to Netflix, at least.
Yeah.
And there's things that we subscribe to, you know, business services or other things that we want to have. And if you can make a business model where your customers pay you monthly, this is why brand SEO was so successful, because the clients paid us to get to the top of Google. And the packages were $500 to $5,000 a month. And there were several clients that were paying that. And we were getting them amazing results.
Wow.
But it was really nice for me to own a business where, you know, $17,000 a month was going into my account, whether I worked or not that month. That was pretty nice. Right. So,
we have, you know, 4 minutes left. We have 4 minutes left. And I have to tell you, you are one of the most interesting, exciting guests we've had, even though there's no health involved in this. It is the Health and Empowerment Channel. I'm on the Empowerment Channel. So this is a health and empowerment show. And there is nothing more empowering than encountering somebody that actually knows what they're doing, is not going to rip you off, and can possibly help you online if you happen to be in, if you're lucky, Bangkok, or Bali, or Yokohama. I loved Yokohama. So this is ideal. It's so ideal that we don't have enough time to do it. I even skipped the angel card, the angel and gemstone card, and we didn't do our rant.
Yeah,
the rant of the week is you rant about something, because if you get so upset that you hold your breath, you're going to turn red and look like me. So if you have the best rant of the month, I'll give you a Dr. Red wig. So my rant is, this show's only an hour, and we have to have you come back because there's so much more. But before we go, how does anybody get hold of you to find out what you're up to next?
Well, probably the easiest way right now, because, we haven't built out like a emergency product for this current situation where a lot of people are at home. So I wouldn't mind working with some people on a sort of one-on-one basis. And basically what I'd be happy to do is for your listeners or anyone listening to this call is to give, you guys like a 15-minute free consultation.
Oh, cool.
And my goal with those sorts of things is that you get enough value from that you don't necessarily that you can do something with it and it's going to help you in your life. Now, if you wanted to continue working with me, that's what we could discuss as well after the 15 minutes. And if we work together, awesome. If we don't, then hopefully that 15 minutes will, like I said, give you a spark that helps you go out there and do what you want to do with this.
That's so cool. Okay.
To reach me, like you said, the best way is just to directly email me. And the best email address is Andrew, which is obviously my first name, at brand, like Coca-Cola is a brand, SEO.com. SEO like Sugar Elephant Oscar search engine optimization. So yeah, Andrew at brandseo.com is the best way. So if people drop me an email, we can set up a time, we can have a Skype call or a Zoom call or WhatsApp or whatever they prefer. And like I said, we'll do 15 minutes. And then if they want to continue with me, we can work something out.
And you got to come back, because there's just so much more to discuss, and you're such a great person to interview. I've had some real geniuses on the show, but they don't speak well. And holy cow, I am in the presence of two wonderful radio personalities here, you and Dr. Al. So in the minute left, next month, thank you for coming for sure. Next month, it is April Fool's Month. And even though April Fool's is a day after a day after our show, it's tomorrow. The first show, will be talking about scams for surrounding the coronavirus and other good things. There's a lot of them. And then for the rest of the month, we're going to just pick people. Have you been scammed, royally scammed? You might be a subject. Write me and tell me at dredsays.com. So you might be one. Or who do we think is fooling people? And we might bring in the blessed snake oil. You never know. So it's going to be a fun month. So until we meet again, guys, thank you so much for coming. I hope you had fun because, man, we're all sitting at home on our computers, and if you don't have a sense of humor, you ain't going to get out of this alive. So remember, guys, it is okay to flip your wig. It is not okay to lose your mind. And Al and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Dr. Red Says. Please join Dr. Sarah Young, a.k.a. Dr. Red, again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. In the next week, laugh in the face of adversity and move forward.